Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Faddis.
Weird thought. This was actually brought up earlier today by Robin Drake, a retired FBI agent. Is Ann Taylor trying to get off this case? Is this like a, I'm pulling the ripcord because there ain't no way that I'm going to be able to defend him adequately? I mean, she's been trying everything. And so far, fairly impressive trying to defend someone like Koberger. But is this like some sort of weird move of like, yeah, kick me off? But I would think that that would carry further repercussions far beyond just this case if she's going to get kicked off of it.
You know, it's hard to say. Certainly there are cases that an attorney doesn't want to be on. And sometimes there are subtle measures you can take to try to bring about the outcome that you want. But here, this would just seem too reckless of the attorney because of the liability that it could place upon her. So even if she is kicked off this case, if it's for doing some malfeasance, you know, with respect to a legal proceeding, that could have consequences for her license. And so, you know, it's always possible, but it would be stupid.
Yeah. I'm just wondering. I mean, she doesn't seem like that reckless of a person that she'd be doing this. I mean, could this still work in her favor? I mean, I think what initially seemed to be the goal was, okay, we're going to bring this back. We're going to show there's this prejudice in this area and we need to move the case somewhere else. If she has tainted the jury pool, which she appears to be doing pretty well, could the judge then move the case because of her actions, even though how unethical they were? Or is it more like, we don't care that you did this? There's many other ways we could have handled this and we could have discussed moving this case ethically, but now you've done this, so now we're going to keep it here. You can lie in the bed that you just made. But then, of course, that opens up so many other roads to, you know, is the death penalty going to go off the table? Appeal options. I mean, is she creating appeal options right now just by doing this?
You know, so potentially, but a lot of appellate courts would review something like this and say that the defense can't inject their own error, you know, kind of at their own volition, and then complain later on appellate review that, oh gosh, there was this big problem with the case. Well, that problem is because you created it, mm-hmm. defense attorney. And so, you know, could this result in a change of venue? Maybe. But what I'm guessing is the judge is going to be pissed off enough that he's going to bring in these jurors, rehabilitate them by saying, hey, you can still be fair and impartial in this very public national trial, can't you? And the jurors are going to be like, oh yeah, sure, we can still be fair. And I think that she's just going to have to lie in the bed that she's made.
And I understand that, and it makes a lot of sense, you know, for the sake of this trial moving forward and these families getting justice and it's not taking 20 years to get through. But at the same point, it's not necessarily Brian Koberger's fault that his defense did this. So let's say he's found guilty at some point once this trial actually does take place. Is this strong enough evidence? I mean, yeah, they could go back and say, yeah, your attorney did this, but you know, you didn't do it. Wouldn't that be strong enough though to say, yeah, there was a tainted pool. This defendant didn't send this out. This was at the means of their attorney. And then give him another shot because of the potential and the obvious impact of this tainting the area.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that the defense attorney injected error into the case likely would not be a successful ground on appeal. But the fact that Brian Koberger was not personally responsible, he could bring what's called an ineffective assistance of counsel claim mm-hmm. on appeal if he's convicted to say, hey, my attorney, you know, whatever she did, that was a big problem for me. And it made the jury not like me. And that influenced their decision to convict me. And so maybe not blaming it on the proceedings so much as blaming it on his own attorney could be an out on appeal.
How much influence does Brian Koberger have on these things, do you think, behind the scenes? Do you think he's aware that she was doing this? Do you think it was a conversation they had before they started sending out these phone calls with these questions?
I think that the defense attorney would be woefully remiss and possibly incompetent if she did not discuss these measures with her client beforehand. So I think Koberger had to have known about it. Now, did he know about all the details? Did he personally sanction it? Probably. It's unclear. But I think he definitely knew about it.
But would he have the knowledge to know yes or no, this is a good idea? You know, or you know, obviously, if she's pitching it to him and it's her idea, she's going to pitch it one way, and he probably doesn't have another voice on the other side or a critic saying, maybe you should think about this one a little bit before you do that.
Yeah, good call. Like, you know, every time I advise a client about a measure I'm going to take, I always advise of the potential benefits and potential risks. And so the defense attorney probably should have said, hey, if the judge finds out about this, the judge might not like this. But does Koberger really have a full understanding as to how problematic this can be from a legal standpoint? I'd guess he doesn't.
It's going to be interesting to watch and to see how more bizarre this gets. I'm sure we'll find out more in the next hearing. Yeah, it's going to be just interesting watching the judge's reaction and seeing how much he kind of comes out off of his bench if he stands up on this one, because it's pretty weird. But
we'll see if Ann Taylor's wearing a helmet or something in the next hearing.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.